Whoa!
Car guys and car gals, welcome to the cafe. This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And this is Frelin Arts, the subprime hero.
And we are brewing solutions on the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. We are so pumped up to get, really, this solution session in gear. We have a very, very special guest, one that has also jumped in to championing this message to forgive, focus, fly, to keep growing, and to see solutionaries rise to upshift and uplift an entire industry. Speaking of upshifting and uplifting, do us a quick favor. Tag a car guy. Tag a car gal. Share, 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 share. Just like that.
That's simple, folks. All you do is get a box of dealership toolkit, put it inside your room.
And kaboom.
And kaboom. Your whole business changes the whole game. No, folks, it is really that simple. It's because what they're going to do is they're going to come inside. They're going to take all the work away from you, and they're going to do it all. They're going to make sure that your dealership is running the best way it possibly can. They're going to tune up that engine. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So we're excited to have the CEO and co-founder on our show today. Oh,
Mr. The Rich. One and only Rich Delancey. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey. We are so pumped up to have him in the room. We met him by way of a great car gal, which we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But welcome, Rich. Welcome to the cafe.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be here. You know, for everybody knows me, knows I'm typically a Diet Coke guy, but I'm doing the coffee thing today. So, tuning up there for you. So here we go.
That's what I'm talking about. We are excited to have the coffee in your house because we know that Liz is a coffee lover and made sure to get her some fresh brews. What did she think of that?
Oh, she's all over the coffee. For her birthday, I got her a brewery machine. So now, like, she's her Starbucks out there.
That's what we're on a mission. No, I'm just kidding. We love Starbucks too, but we definitely want to make sure that they learn how to brew Car Guy coffee. But thank you so much for that. I definitely want to make sure that we talk about the great things that are coming on because you're helping us in going forward in helping promote what great, incredible women are going to be doing for this incredible industry that is the car business. It's transforming of life industry, and we're just so excited to talk about it. I mean, again, we're going to talk about things exploding, car guys, car gals coming together. Let's just throw this out there real fast. Get ready, everybody, to 2021, Car Gal Coffee is coming, and I'm excited for Liz jumping on that show with them as well. That's going to be such a fun time. She's been killing it on Clubhouse, man. You guys have been doing great using that app, huh?
Oh man, she is like the Clubhouse queen. I tell you, I'm normally the first one on all the tech, as you guys know, and I was definitely, I was having her teach me, like, hey, how do I do this? How do I talk? How do I raised my hand, so it was weird being on the other side of the fence for once.
It is pretty cool. Liz is awesome, for one. You're a very lucky man, and she's a very lucky woman. From what I saw on her birthday, it was a birthday week that you give her. So she was even throwing out, take notes, guys.
Yeah, funny. Years and years ago, when we first started eating, you know, I said, hey, you know, next week's your birthday, and she said, well, you know, I get a whole week. And I was gullible back in those days. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I was from Pennsylvania. She was from Maine. So I thought maybe that was a Maine thing that you got a whole week. So, and I've just been doing it ever since. So, you know, a little bit of gullibility went a long way.
It goes a whole long way, you know, especially when you're talking about your significant other. You know, there's nothing better than treating them above and beyond. You know, that's something that I take note from. You know, one thing, when I was getting really good at my business life, I started taking away from my personal life. I wasn't giving the attention to my significant, my wife. And so what I've come to find is I give her more attention than I used to, even more than before. And now that I do that, it's made the relationship amazing. Doing little things, and that's not little, doing big things, but they are little things, like giving your wife a week and letting her know that you care about her, you know, doing things like that are so big, you know, and that shows love. Even if it feels like it doesn't go that far, folks, believe it does. It does. Your wife, your husband, does not matter who it is. If you show them love, they're going to show the love back. It's like anything else in life, business, life, period. You get what you put in it. And if you don't put anything towards it, you're not going to get back what you should get. And nor should you, right? So thank you for being here this morning, Richard. Thanks for being a gentleman and also a great husband. Way to show that off. Because we like to think of ourselves as good husbands. Hopefully one day great. You know, we do love our wives dearly, and I know you do too. So let's get into this, man. You know, we definitely love to start the show off our favorite way. We have these three F's that we always talk about. It's a lot of fun to do. I'm excited to do this with you. It's to forgive, focus, fly. You know, the thing about forgiving things is you have to forgive everything that you've done in the past that wasn't right. We every single day, there's always something that we go through, some kind of struggle, right? Good or bad. You know, sometimes you don't focus on the bad, but you do need to acknowledge the bad at least and understand where you need to grow from that. So forgiving that and letting it go and just saying, hey, you know what? I messed up. It's okay. I'm going to let all this weight of unforgiveness on my shoulders, of me blaming everybody, all these excuses go away, because I'm ready to start focusing on my future, right? So I can fly. And fly as far as I want to go so I can keep growing. So let's do this. I'm excited about this. Forgive, focus, flies. Let's make it happen. So you ready for this? I'm going to go ahead and let Lou take over the reins. Let's go.
Oh, you car guys and car gals, riding, watching, whatever it is that you're doing, join us real quick as we forgive, focus, and fly. Cross the arms. One, two, three. Forgive.
Forgive.
Focus.
Fly.
Keep growing.
There it is. Yay. Good morning. Now we're ready for the show. We are ready to go. We got this five-liner that we're going to be dropping on you, Richard. I'm so excited about this. These are five questions we love to ask our guests because it helps us figure out how you got to where you're at and where you're going to go. All right. So my first question is my favorite question. It always will be. It's, what is your purpose? What's your why? What makes you wake up every day and say, I'm going to go grind and I'm going to make this happen?
It is a cool question. I like helping people. I always have since I was a kid. And the nice thing about what I get to do on a daily basis is I can help dealers and clients all over the country. And, you know, without people coming into their dealership, without leads, without good technology, they can't do their job. You know, you could have the best car in the world. You know, you could have a Tesla dealership, but if nobody knows you're there, nobody's going to come in, right? The best product, I always used to tell people when I first started in advertising years ago, you could have Gordon Ramsay come to your house to cook, and you could have YouTube playing there. And if you didn't tell anybody about it, it would just be you and Gordon Ramsay and you two in the room, and it'd be a little awkward, right? That's what I get excited. I get excited when I look at the sales board at a dealership and I say, oh my gosh, look at that. They sold 8 today. They sold 15 today. They sold 20 today. I may even get more excited than the people who work at the dealership at times because, you know, I love seeing that whole thing from, you know, start to end. As somebody that did a simple search and now is walking out of a dealership in a car or a new boat or a new RV. And right. So that's what powers me every day, man. I get excited. I get, you know, I wake up in the morning just thinking about ways to get more people in. Last night I was thinking about in my sleep, I had this idea for targeting parents who, you know, we had some really cool creative for one of our RV dealers lately, and it had a bunch of kids kicking a soccer ball and playing with the dog. And I'm like, man, we got to target parents because if parents see this, then they're going to want to come in. I was thinking about that in my sleep last night.
I love it though, but that's what makes you better every single day is that you're also, you always have that type of stuff in the back of your mind so deeply that you're dreaming about it. So it's an amazing thing, you know, having that type of purpose, having that type of why it's what gets me going, you know, and I'm really glad that we're talking about this morning, you know. Lou Lou has a different why than I do. We're all similar. We all have very similar purposes, but when it gets down to the nitty gritty, there's always got to be that it's more than just a general thing, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things that can motivate us, whether it be growing in business, growing in personal life, growing in whatever it is that you have, use it. Use that why every single day. There was a time in my life where my why was to get a new pair of shoes. You know, it's whatever it was for me to get motivated for that moment. I can make my why a general, you know, like my every day when I wake up, of course, I want to motivate my wife. I want to make my wife happy, know that I'm trying to do my thing. I want my son to see that I'm leaving a legacy of that I work hard and I do everything I can to be happy. And I try to share positivity because I want my son to see that and him to do that with his family one day and do those types of things. But then it can be as simple, like I said, as, hey, I want a new pair of Jordans. I want a new suit because I need a new suit. So I need to go out and catch this extra deal because sometimes some people out there, if you're in the car business, they sell a certain amount of cars. They made enough money to pay their bills. They may lay down. So I used to find a way to not lay down. It was like, okay, I've made good money already this month. How do I just not sit back and talk with the guys in the back drinking coffee? Well, how can I stay up front and keep catching up or keep making phone calls? Well, it was the little things. I would find the little things, like I said, like the shoes, or I needed this, or maybe I need to, I want to go on vacation and make it a little bit more of a surprise for my wife, have that big dinner that she won't know about. And I just need to get that one extra deal so she doesn't know, it's extra money for that. So whatever it is, you got to use
that. That's so true. My mentor in sales was a guy named Todd Turper years ago. He found me as a guy. I always wanted to be on the air and radio, as you guys probably could tell with my voice, but there's no money unless you're a big time Dan Patrick star. And this guy who was the sales manager at the radio station, he took a liking to me and he pulled me out of the DJ booth and started teaching me sales. But the thing that he told me, and I still try to do this every day, and I've done it every day for going on 30 years now, was just do one more. At the end of the day, when you think you're done, everything's crossed off on your list, you're ready to pack it in, throw the shovel down, do one more. One more call, one more drop-in, one more visit, one more check. And I always, every day, at the end of the day, I always think, what's my one more? And that has served me so well in my career. I can't tell you how many big deals or new clients or discoveries I made that were on the one more that had I just stopped, it would have never happened.
And that's usually what fuels you continuing that. When you see a result come from that one more seed, be like, this is that deal that I closed because I did wrap it up and I made that one more call, or I sent that other email, or I did that other, whatever the thing is that you do, you know, but whatever it is, when you see fruit come from that, man, then you do, it's like, I'm always doing the one more. We try to encourage the guys at the dealership to always be the guy that gets your job done, because that's what you're supposed to do. Get your job done and then some. Be the and then some kind of person. Make it happen and then a little extra.
A little extra. You know, and that's the difference between, you know, being, you know, good at your job or being elite at your job. You know, the difference between in some cases, it's being the difference between being poor at your job and just being good at your job. Because some people, they don't necessarily, and don't get me wrong, we all have different purposes. We all have different whys. Not everybody has to be the guy who's number one. Not everybody, that's not what their drive. Their drive is to, maybe it's the work is for them to be able to go home and be able to have freedom at home, right? You know, be able to pay their bills. They're not so concerned about their career. They're more family oriented, and that's okay. Everybody has their purpose in life. Everybody has their, what's going to be their thing, you know, but you know, for us business minded people, it's a big deal, you know, for us to take that extra step. It's the same way when you implement stuff like that, Rich was talking about right there. Rich is talking about doing one more. Now, if you implement that in your business life every single day, that is what gets you ahead. That's what puts you and sets you aside, because not everybody does that. Most people do one less. I mean, seriously, like they could do, you know what? I'm close enough. Right. I did enough today. No, it's never enough. You know, Michelle Streets just put up a thing, says make an impact, right? Always make an impact. When you make an impact, it's making an impact for a lot of people, and you're setting a precedent and for your teammates. Like as a leader, the CEO, co-founder of Dealership Toolkit, I mean, come on, you have to lead by example. If you're not doing that one more, how can you expect your team to do that one more, right? So when you do that and you show it, and don't, oh, look at me, I do one more. You know, it's not that, and it's not what he's doing. He's just, you know, giving us tips. What I'm telling you is that when your team sees you do it, you don't have to tell them to do it. When they see the leader doing it, they follow the leader. They get better. They want to be, they want to keep up with the leader. They want to make sure that, and that's what it is. You go into work. If Rich goes into work today and he's sitting in the call center and he starts just acting negative, his whole team's going to get negative. He goes in there and he acts positive, his whole team will be positive. And that's just how it goes. And it's something about that. And don't get me wrong. You do have to go in there and sometimes you have to tell your team, hey, this is the way it needs to happen because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But you do it in a very good way. You know, you explain, give examples of what that can help them grow. No, hey, don't just do this because I said so. Do it because if you do, this is what can happen. Matter of fact, I know this is going to happen. So, Lou, what you got him for number two?
Well, we are always going to try to, on the second question, tie it into the car guy-ism of the business and understanding, Rich, how did you get involved in the car business side of marketing, of doing all of the things that you do to brew solutions for dealerships nationwide, worldwide, all over, right? What is it that got you into the auto industry?
Ooh. Well, funny, I'm probably the greatest nepotism heir in history. And or my former company, I worked for Verizon, and I worked with all different types of clients. I worked with plumbers and lawyers and doctors. I've always been a digital guy. And I worked with occasional dealers, but dealerships have always had specialized marketing firms. And Verizon one time wanted to move Liz and I from Washington, D.C. for me to take over an operation in the Philadelphia market. And Liz did not want to move to Philly. Even though I'm from Philly, but cheesesteaks, Eagles, you know, fly Eagles, fly the whole nine yards. But, she worked her back channels at the company we came from, and, they wanted to start a digital department. They were in the auto industry, largely just a direct mail firm. And, so to keep Liz, they offered me a job. And because I would do just about anything for Liz, I left my job and came on and started selling dealers, but boy, was that different. But yeah, man, it's the funniest thing was, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I have such a passion for it now. Liz and I, she was a general manager of a store. She ran stores. She grew up in the car business. And I was always one of those car groupies, you know, asking her, you know, we'd be watching a movie and seeing some guy in the box. And I'd be like, does that really happen? And, you know, the King of Cars, remember that television show? I was like addicted to the Blue Genie and the whole thing. I was just fascinated by it. And then all of a sudden I was on the inside, right? Getting to work with dealers. And the very first dealer I ever worked with was John Hinderer Honda in Ohio. And this was at a time when probably 8 or 9 out of 10 dealers I talked to weren't doing any kind of advertising on Google. You know, I'd walk in and I would talk to them about their digital and they'd say, well, we have a website and we do email. But this is back when search engine marketing was just really starting to get going. And this guy at John Hinderer Honda, I'll never forget, I was with Mr. Hinderer and he's like, man, this other store, I used to be number one and this other store is kicking my butt. And I said, well, have you Googled your name lately? He goes, why would I Google my own name? I'm like, just do me a favor, Google your name. And this other store was right over top of them. I said, you know, those guys owe you a fruit basket because you're running all these ads. People Google your name and they get the traffic. He's like, I ain't buying no fruit basket. And that was the beginning. I was hooked and I've been all over the country and spoke at, you know, great organ, AutoCon, RVDA, NADA, all these things. And man, I am the biggest car junkie now because of it, because of John Hinderer Honda.
Wow. Well, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you've been through those phases of the car business and that you grew the love. You know, I remember the King of Cars and because I'm the King of Cars. I remember that whole thing, like the chop a chop. He was awesome, man. Tobin Dodge, and it's out in Las Vegas, and they were the number one like Dodge store in the country at the time, and they were doing some major stuff. And to come on television and have a reality show like that, and to to show light in the car business was pretty cool. And, you know, we've seen movies. We've seen them all. We've seen Suckers. We've seen Used Cars. We've seen, you know, they even got that, what was that one where they had the road guys with Jeremy Piven's in it.
Yeah.
Good. Right. So, you know, being that we're old road guys, we thought that was funny to see that, you know, different, you know, this big old circus show, the gypsies coming in town, doing all that type of stuff. But we absolutely love this business. We fell in love with it too. So we know how you can fall in love with it also. And I'm glad that you did, because you're bringing a lot of great stuff to this business. And we're real excited about what your future has to hold with your company. I know that you guys are still a young company that are growing right now. And this year is a year where you're able to actually really spread your wings, because you're able to forgive all the past. Now it's all over with, and you're able to focus on it. And now you're able to fly. And I know that you guys are going to fly, because your wings are just, they're going. You guys were in that cocoon stage. So I'm excited about you guys being the butterfly that you guys can be now. And I know
you guys actually, you got me in trouble, by the way, with that whole, I love the forgiveness of fly. When I met you, for some reason that just resonated me. And so you shipped me one of these bands, right?
Yeah.
And I've had it on my wrist since, to remind myself every day. And Liz said to me the other day, she goes, you know, we have dealership toolkit and you never wore one of your own ones. And I'm like, well, it didn't say forget, focus, and fly on it, or I would have. But so I got in trouble because I'm wearing your band and not the one that she made for Toolkit. Well, I just want to let you know that's how much I've adopted the philosophy.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you, Dan. That means a lot to us. It does. But, you know, that's what, you know, that's the thing. And you guys are, we're partnered up. We're all forget, focus, flying together. You know, we're a team here. And I love that. I love that you're implementing that with you and your mentality. And and that means a lot. I know that. It touches home, because that whole forgive, focus, fly started here local, and it's become now a national thing and a worldwide. We have it all the way in Australia too now, you know, with Michael Dooley down there. You know, so it's growing really fast, because it's a great way to think. It's a very simple three words. It's a great mantra to any time that you're going through some difficulty. If you really want to think about it, just sit down for a second and just forgive that problem, and so you could focus, and then and start to focus on what you want, and then fly with it. It's that simple. It really is. Life is that simple. A lot of us, we focus too hard on the negative so bad that we think it's overwhelming. And it's really, I remember staying up late at night, not being able to sleep because of one little thing, you know, and it's like, why did I let myself get to that? And I've really learned to adapt to the forgive, focus, fly. And it's really helped me a lot too. So yes, I'm glad you're doing that. We have new, by the way, I'm going to announce that we have some new ones coming in, and they're going to be a little bit different than this. And I'm going to send you guys a big old packet of some new ones that are coming in. They're going to still have the forgive, focus, fly, and the keep growing, but the outside where the lettering is for the Car Guy Coffee stuff, all that's going to be, it's going to be embossed. It's going to be sticking up. So it's going to be a little bit nicer. So we're going to have some of those. Should be showing up any day. They're in the mail, so they say, right? So we'll see when they get here. We make sure we send you some more. We'll send a bunch for your team down there too, in the call room and everything else. And this way everybody can have one. But we do appreciate that. Welcome to the business. We're so lucky to have Richard in it.
Tie in a couple things there that Richard did say. And this is just conversation, necessarily five-liner stuff, but we got a great marketer in the room.
There you go.
And we have all these other marketers that get to see and kind of or test in, maybe sip in a little bit of what's happening, because there were huge challenges whenever presenting your product to a car guy, mm-hmm. right?
Oh.
Car guys are some of the best and strongest closers, sellers in the world. And I think something that's also impeded the growth of the car business is the strength that car guys had in closing. That you can't close me on this product. We're working. We're putting up numbers. We're making money. We're the biggest in the industry. You know, we're the biggest in our area. You know, we're the big fish in the pond. While all of these other industries are embracing different parts of marketing and how to sell their product, they weren't growing because of how good they were at being closers, right? They didn't let people with real solutions into the room to really entertain them. And don't get me wrong, I know what it's like daily. I mean, I'm fielding calls all the time. Different people wanting to get demos, different people wanting to tell us their products. I'm going to get you 10 more car deals a month. I'm going to get you 40 more car deals a month. You know, everybody's going to get us some more, some way, some shape, somehow. And everybody has to figure out what fits for their processes, because every dealership is pretty much a little different than the other. But you stayed to it. You stayed continuing to press forward and to build and to take some of those strengths and also not hold it against other people. What is it that you think is the biggest hurdle for, and this is, again, this is not a five-liner question, definitely not. But what do you think the biggest hurdle is for dealers inside of that space where they're letting somebody get into their business? What have you seen as being the thing that's like the aha moment for dealers when they're like, you know what, I probably could use your product now that I've actually listened to you?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've always been successful is I don't think I sell as much as I try to educate and teach and show, and it's data. Mm-hmm. It's gotten me in trouble, and it's been very successful. What I mean by that was one of the guys that works for us now, Rick Freeman, director of sales, he was a sales rep years ago, and he was one of the first guys that started teaching me the car business, and he took me under his wings, and he took me to this Kia store in New England. And I'm a data guy. I'm data in, data out. It's X, it's black and white, X's and O's, right? And I looked at this guy and I'm like, man, your website is terrible. And here's why. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm just trying to help the guy, right? Man, you would have thought I called his kid ugly or something. That guy, he got so mad. He got red in the face. He threw us out of the office. It was so funny. Rick and I get back to the car and Rick looks at me and he has like this rambly voice. And he goes, well, I guess you won't do that again, will you? And I'm like, and so from that point forward, really what I just tried to do with dealers is just show them the data. Because here's the thing. The reason why I love working with dealers are data people just like me, right? Yeah. They're a little sexy. They're a little sexier, a little cooler. But when I put the numbers on the page and they look down at the numbers, they can relate. And then we get discussing the numbers and nobody's selling each other. We just get into this thing where, well, what can we do to make these numbers better? And I say, hey, I can do X, Y, and Z. And they say, well, you know what? If we team that with this, this, and this, and the next thing we know, we have a plan and we're working together. And that's really just what I've tried to do in my career is just not sell you, but just lay it out and, you know, try to. One of the comments or compliments I was ever given, I worked for a guy named Bill Riley, which I have a lot of respect for. And he sent me an email one time after NADA when I just talked to every dealer. I was on the floor 14 hours a day, three straight days. I could hardly talk when I got done. He said, Rich, you are the epitome of the humble servant. Mm-hmm. And that meant so much to me. That's one of the emails I've always kept around was, because that's what I truly just want to help you. I don't want to sell you. I don't want to, you know, grab your money and run. If you need me at 3 a.m. in the morning, you're one of my dealers and you call and say my website's down or, hey, this email went out with the wrong price. I'm up. I'm on my computer. I'm fixing it because we're in this together. You know, I drive Liz crazy. We'll be out in the middle of the ocean on a cruise and a dealer will call me and I'll take 2 minutes to try to help them because we're partners that way.
That's right. Wow. That's huge. That's relationship over revenue.
I love that. I love that you talked about what you did. You know, you put that work in and you were being a servant and you're just trying to help people. And when you truly do that, when your business is built around helping, it will flourish. There may be times where it seems like it's tough because, you know, but there's going to be a bunch of people who reach out to you once they need it. You know, sometimes people don't realize what they need at first. Sometimes they're too caught up in, oh man, I don't want to make a change because of this. But then they realize I need to make a change. That's the only time anybody really will. It's like quitting smoking cigarettes. You know, people won't quit smoking cigarettes until they really want to quit. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to quit tomorrow. Unless you truly feel like you want to quit, your mind has to be like, I'm done. I am over this. And that's the same thing with most business owners is there's a lot of them out there that are very innovative. They're always trying to do, some of them are too innovative. They're trying to do too many things, right? And then there's some that don't want to make any changes because they've been doing it this way since their daddy owned the store or whatever it was, right? But it's time to change. And sometimes when you hear that by using the numbers, you know, you're a numbers guy. You understand. You could show them, hey, here's the analytics. This is how it's going to break down. This is what you need to do. This is how it can work. And this is how I can help you. And even after you show it and you can show them that this will increase your bottom line, at the end of the day, unless they want to do it, unless they're really believing it's time to change, they're not going to. But that doesn't mean they won't, just not that day. Sometimes it takes a little while. Same thing in a car.
And sometimes they just can't. And that's the whole reason why Dealership Toolkit is here today. I've developed great technology over the years that has just sat on the shelf. And and the dealer didn't mean to put it on the shelf. They get busy. The showroom's full ups. There's somebody complaining about a delivery. A car has a scratch on it, and just life happens. And I used to get these awkward phone calls. Rich, we love your ideas. We love the product. We really thought it would work for our dealership, but we just don't have the time. And so I got tired of being fired for those situations. And so that's how Dealership Toolkit came to be, because today what we really strive for, if a dealer never touches any of our stuff, all they have to do is work the guy we're going to get in the showroom as the up. That's it. Now, we have some dealers that are very involved. They're going to dig in. You're going to get more out of it, but you can work with us. Hey, as a dealer, you don't have to do a damn thing if you don't want to. Just sell the up. And if you can't sell the up, I can't do that part, right? I'm going to get that up there. We're going to put them in front of you. Just sell the up. And that's the magic of Dealership Toolkit is this truly we can, for a smaller store, or a store that's tightly staffed or during COVID, we really grew because now all the extra employees typically at the dealership, they had to downsize and they were run on a skeleton crew. And all of a sudden we were there to support them. And that's what we do now.
Right. And most dealerships, they don't know how to operate from home. It doesn't, that model was not something that anybody was prepared for in the car business, for everybody to say, yeah, hold on, flip, everybody home now. That's what you're going to do. And then how to operate doing life at home. I mean, working from home is a no joke task, you know, especially when you have children, you have pets, you have spouses, you have, I mean, so many distractions. You have home improvement projects. I mean, right.
If especially if you don't have a home office, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, if you don't have a dedicated space to be able to get away, it's very difficult, you know, distraction, you know, they're everywhere. And it's very tough. I know I've worked from home before and, you know, we had to do it during this COVID a little bit, but it was very difficult to stay focused on something because it's so many things. Like you said, your wife could be like, hey, do this home improvement. Dude, here's your honey-do list, right? And here's all this stuff, you know, and it can be very difficult. But when you do find a good rhythm or if you have a good way of doing it, it can be actually very good. Right. It's like anything, you know, some people take it and run with it. Some people make excuses.